It's time for the only show that looks at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with your host, Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.
Welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller, and our guest for today is Carly Anderson, a Master Certified Coach. And the topic is, do you want to instantly improve your coaching skills, either as a leader or as a coach? But we'll get to Carly in just a minute. If you're listening to the show live, then hey, you know where you are. You're on octalkradio.net, Orange County's premier talk radio station. If you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. While you're there, be sure to check our archives for other great shows with some interesting guests. Well, our program today, do you want to instantly improve your coaching skills as a leader or a coach? Our guest is Carly Anderson, a good friend of mine, a master certified coach that I have a tremendous amount of respect for, given her experience and her knowledge and her willingness to share that with everybody she comes in touch with. I think after listening to this talk, you're going to find yourself with a newfound clarity about how to be an even better coach, and you're going to have an opportunity to incorporate some of the tips that she's going to give you in your own coaching, whether as a professional coach or whether you use a coaching style to lead your staff. So Carly's got an impressive bio, but I'm going to work that in as we talk to her because you don't want to listen to me. You want to listen to her. So, Carly, welcome to the Coaching Perspective radio show.
Thank you, Doug. I'm happy to listen to you.
That's not what this show's about. It's about listening to you. Well, look, Carly, let's jump right in here. Tell our audience about what you did before what you're currently doing. Give us the lowdown on your past. How do you get to this point?
Yes, that's always the interesting question. Well, originally I'm from Australia, and the short answer is I had a corporate consulting business in Australia for many years, and the main thing we did was take strategic plans for large corporations and turn them into graphic plans. We called them graphic plans in order to be able to make the vision, values, and strategic intent available to everybody in the organization in a visual manner and a corporate storytelling manner. And that was a very successful business. And I found that one of the things was missing was the implementation on the back end. Once we left, was like, what's next?
That is such a common story. I mean, it's like every consultant, every business expert I know, you pour your heart out with the knowledge and then you walk away and wonder what happened.
Exactly. And that happened in this case. And I was fortunate back in 1997 to have a colleague of mine say, I'm going to be bringing the first ever coach training program to Australia, and I think you'd be a great coach. Would you like to know more? And I was like, what? A coach? What? I'm a sports person, yes, but what's a coach? I really did not have any idea. So I took up his offer, and in early 98, I did the first ever live coach training program offered in Australia. 3 months later and 125 hours later, I was in love, and that was the end of it.
Wonderful. So you fell in love with coaching. What was next? I mean, did you tell us about your experience in becoming certified, and how did you move from Australia to here, to Orange County?
Who knew I'd live in the United States? I certainly did not. If you said my life path would take me to the United States, I would have thought you were crazy. But again, it all came about through coaching. And once I started to get coaching into my business, in my consulting business, I realized that the consulting business was not my heart and soul. The coaching was. So a year and a half later, I sold my part of the business, and I really wholly focused on coaching. And because I was at the beginning of the coaching profession in that country, I was often sought out to be on television, on radio, to be the spokesperson, and I happened to know people in the right places because my previous career was in the advertising industry and I was very connected to television stations and radio stations. So I had a lot of connections and I was wonderful. It was a fantastic time. And then I got my professional certified coach designation in 2001 from the International Coach Federation, and 3 years later I got my Master Certified Coach designation. So you can tell I had a lot of coaching clients. It was very successful very quickly because people were as hungry as I was for this thing called coaching. And I eventually came to the United States through coaching, and here I am, and I've been here 12 years.
Well, I am so glad you are here, since I'm not going to get to Australia. And I have really enjoyed every conversation I've ever had with you, and I've walked away each time with new tidbits and new perspectives on how to do a better job coaching. So I know our audience is going to get that today. Tell us what you do now. Tell us about your coaching practice now.
I have two different arms, I guess, to my practice. And, Doug, I have coached, first of all, because I was a successful small business owner, I was sought out more for that expertise, and I realized that it was more my expertise they were wanting than coaching in the beginning. And as I've evolved my understanding of coaching, I find I don't tend to work as much with people I know really well like that. I was fortunate to have a contract in the mid-2000s, in 2006, with Google, and I ended up coaching 450 managers and high-potential individual contributors on their communication skills, and that really was a big piece of what I then ended up doing from there on, which was coaching technical leaders. So one of the things I focus on, and I get contract work, is working with technical leaders on their people skills and communication skills. So that's one part of my current model, business model. The other part is mentoring coaches for their credentials, because I have, well, I will say, I do have a lot of expertise since 2005 in understanding the core competencies that make coaching really sing. And I probably have parlayed that now into a way that brings together a passion for me, which is to advance the professionalism of coaching through core competency and core coaching skill development. And that includes having a mental coaching group. I'll be launching the Mental Coaching Club soon. I want to see 1,000 new Master Certified Coaches in the world, because I know that they will have gone through enormous growth and learning to get to that point. And I just have these passions for both of those, technical leaders and for mentoring coaches.
Now, you know, for our audience who may not know, let me just highlight something that Carly just said. She has a vision of supporting 1,000 new coaches to become Master Certified Coaches. You have to realize that today there are only 600 and some Master Certified Coaches in the world.
Right.
So that is a huge increase. That is a big number.
Yes. It is. There are around 20,000 certified coaches globally for the ICF, and as you say, less than 1,000 of those are currently, as you say, less than 700 are currently MCCs, and I think that's a shame. And because I'm an assessor, I can tell you that I understand where some of the sticking points come for those people who want to become MCCs, and it is in their mastery of the core competencies, which is why I feel I've got something special, that I've been able to simplify the competencies, come up with a new model that really creates a way for coaches to increase their ability to be effective. I think the more effective they are in understanding coaching skills, the more they're going to serve their clients. And I want to see more of those master coaches in the world.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to come back to that in just a minute, but before we get into that, you know, let me ask you the question that we ask all of our guests on the show here, and that is, tell us a particular experience or a key lesson that you learned that really sort of created, you know, your guiding principle. What is it that is true north for you in your profession?
Yeah, that is a great question. Well, for me, it is, I didn't know I was going to say this, but it's patience, which is not always my strong point, but over the years it has become more of my strength. I'm even surprised I'm saying that, Doug.
I love this question for that reason. You know, we get the most interesting answers, and it's an impossible question to rehearse for.
Yeah, exactly. But I had a business partner for many years in Australia. When I left Australia, I that was no longer there. And one of the things that I have been yearning for 12 years is a business partner. And finally, even though my husband and I own a corporation together and we have very different focuses, we certainly support each other, but I'm in a partner in the passions that I have. And it took until 6-7 months ago for me to find that person. And I did not know it would take me nearly 12 years to find that person. In the meantime, I have committed myself to excellence and to doing what I love and doing it to the level of excellence without compromising my standards, while also simultaneously holding this vision that this person would show up one day. And so my guiding principle is really do what you're called to do. And in this case, for quite a while I wasn't called really to do the high level of things that I now am engaged in. So I always look at what can I really be passionate about. So I got passionate about my health and fitness and engaging in sport because I use sporting analogies in my coaching for leaders a lot. It crosses all boundaries. And so it's really about excellence, being patient, and being willing to hold the vision until it comes to fruition.
You know, I love what you said there, because it's not unusual, and you know this as a coach, it's not unusual for us to talk to people who don't have a clear vision of where they want to go. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a typical thing, is working with them to get that vision clarified. But I can't remember when I've talked to someone who had a clear vision and held to it for such a long period of time and was patient about achieving that vision. That's another whole skill set. I really appreciate you bringing that to the audience today.
Yes, because really, Doug, we don't know how long something's going to take. And I studied dynamic tension at one stage and how we sometimes hold a vision for as long as we feel it's necessary, but we don't really hold the vision until we get what we want. And in the meantime, what we do is we settle, we compromise. And instead, I mean, I didn't know this person, Karen Boskamper, was going to show up in my life. And yet we've known each other for 10 years and we've worked together before. But it took a lot of different things having to occur before we were ready to partner in this way around mentoring coaches. And if you drop your vision and just say, oh, it's never going to happen, well, of course, you're not really helping yourself. And it's not that I always knew it was going to happen. It's not that I didn't have doubts. But it was, I just knew that this was something that was really important to me, was to have a partner on a particular level. And you just have to hang out with that dissatisfaction. You know, there's a lot of feelings that come up, and you just have to be okay with that.
Well, you know, and the thing I love about what you're saying is that, you know, in a business example, companies are always setting out a vision of where they want to go or what they want to do, especially young entrepreneurs. And then there is such a tendency to be frustrated because they don't achieve it right away, or they don't achieve it within the time frame that they thought they would get there. So this idea of patience with your vision, of holding it with the confidence that it will happen, is a wonderful idea.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Well, look, okay, now, you are not an easy person to interview because you are into so many things. And they're all so fascinating to me, whether it's your mentoring coaching, your mentoring group, or whether it's your new product, your target approach. So, you know, I'm kind of just along for the ride here. Where do you want to really go with this? What is the thing that you want to share with our audience today? What are we talking about?
I think we go to the place that you started, which is, do you want to instantly improve your coaching skills as a leader or a coach? I think that that may be useful to your listeners to hear some of the things that I think will instantly improve their ability to be a great coach.
I have to tell you that as I wrote that out for the newsletter this week, I hesitated on the word instantly because, I mean, that's a big commitment.
Yeah, it is.
So, So take us there. What can we do to instantly improve?
Yeah, so this comes from, again, my understanding as an assessor, a person who's listened to hundreds of coaching sessions, people who've put in their application for coaching credentials. And I've studied these core competencies. There are 11 with the ICF, and I've created this thing called the target approach. And the reason I've done that is because they are presented by the ICF as a linear 1 to 11 list. And yet what I find is in practice, they are not a linear model. So there are, I guess, four competencies that I think if anybody, a leader or a coach, were to master and really focus in on, it doesn't take long to actually become a better leader who listens to your people or a coach who really wants to master your ability to make a difference in your client's life. And one of the key things is presence. And the core competency of coaching presence is one that is absolutely at the center of the target. And presence is really all about the connection you have to yourself as a coach or as a leader, hearing what your gut or intuition is telling you, and then being able to also connect with your client or team member and creating that level of trust that allows you to support them to become better. It's that place, Doug, where you feel like the other person gets you. And that comes from your presence and your ability to be present. And let's face it, how many of us are fully present in our life at any point in time? You know, we're scattered, we've got cell phones going off, texts, we've got all these other things. So to give somebody else the undivided attention, your undivided attention to them, whether it's for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is, and if you can be fully present, wow, that is a huge thing that you give to the other person. And I believe that is the number one thing that will instantly improve anybody's ability to be more effective with their coaching or actually with their leadership.
And to be more effective in any communication that they have, whether
right.
it's putting out something or whether it's taking it in. You know, this is so fascinating to me because I happened to start a new book the other day, How I Got My... I'm going to say Stuff Together by Maggie Steele. And there was a quote in there. I don't remember it exactly, but the essence of it was she was saying, if you treat every conversation you have today with whoever it is as if they were going to die by midnight, what would be the level of presence you would have with that person if you knew that was going to be the case?
Wow.
How would that change that conversation, that relationship? How would it change your listening? Would you stop multitasking? Would you pay attention? And it just seems to sort of tie in, at least for me, with what you're talking about.
Perfectly, Doug. Absolutely. I mean, sometimes we need to play those sort of mindset shifts with ourselves to be able to make ourselves available in a different way. So if that's what it takes to have somebody be present, that's great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I absolutely agree with you. I think it is a muscle that needs to be developed. We all have that muscle. We have that ability to focus, especially on the things we're interested in. But it's the other things that we don't initially have an interest in, staying present then. That's the challenge. Build
it
that
is.
Muscle.
And I have been, only a couple of times can I truly say that I've been with somebody that I don't know and felt like I was the only person that they were talking to. And that is a skill, and some of our leaders, often hear of Michelle Obama as being one of those people who has that ability to focus in on the person that's in front of her, even though there's a crowd of other people around her. And that really is an amazing thing. And it doesn't matter what your politics are, it's about having that presence, that ability to say, you're more important than everything else in this moment, for whatever minutes, seconds, hours I'm going to be giving you my attention. And Doug, from that point, we hear differently. And then we can ask different questions when we are just fully present and not trying to put forth our agenda. And we will make different observations and we will engage and encourage and do things differently with the other person than we would if we were fly by talking to them.
And you know, you're right now, you're speaking of it from the standpoint of the coach or the leader talking to somebody else and their efforts or their ability to stay present. But, you know, if we look at it from the other side, from the person on the other side of the conversation, when like you say, when somebody gets you, when somebody is paying full attention to you, it is such a gift that you open up and you say things you didn't know you were going to say.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of interesting to me. The I got a haircut this morning, and I came back from getting a haircut and was working out of my home office, and I was talking to my wife, and I said, you know, if this gal didn't cut my hair, I'd still want to meet with her once a month because she makes me feel like I'm important. She's listening. She's questioning. She's fully present in our conversation.
Wow. See, doesn't that have an impact on you? And you
yeah.
want to employ her services, and you want to give her business.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my haircut doesn't make that much difference to me, frankly. I suppose I could go other places. Some even might be cheaper, whatever. But that ability of that person to connect with me, I won't go anyplace else. And I think that's really true with everybody. So presence, okay. It's not an easy task, but it's a big one, and it applies to coaching. It applies to parenting. It applies to any communication we're having, right?
Absolutely. Because it informs then how you listen, and as you said, how you pay attention and what you pay attention to. And if you take yourself out of it as, in terms of an agenda, in that moment, if you are there to be present, I work with a lot of technical leaders who have to work with non-technical people. And one of the things that they get into is trying to explain their point of view so quickly and advocate for their point of view because they're the experts, that they don't bring everybody else on board. And as soon as they stop that and just take this time to wonder what the other person is about, be curious, and allow them to tell their story, inquire. And there's skill sets to that, to do it effectively in a business environment when everybody's fast-paced. But I tell you what, it makes a huge difference, and I guess that's why I love working with these people, because once they get it, these smart, you know, scientists, engineers, project managers, a lot of these people are just, they get it, and they go, oh my gosh, I now know how to apply being present and listening in a way that I never even knew was possible before. So I know it can instantly make a difference because I experience it time and again with my clients.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking as you were talking about this, Carly, you know, so many times in business we look for what's our USP, what's our unique sales proposition that makes us different from the competition. And it can be presence. Just being fully present might be the thing that sets you apart from everybody else that does the same thing.
Really, I think that would be wonderful for people to take that on, because each person will then have their unique way of doing that.
So, okay, so that's your number one. Moving down the list is, what's number two on your list of top four?
Well, the next one really is, pay attention to who the person is and then how you listen. Because your presence is one thing, but some people listen for what's wrong, and some people will listen for how to solve the problem. And yet what that does is it doesn't honor each of us as having our own way to solve our problems. And if we see another person as having issues or having problems, our mindset creates this way of interacting that is about solving the problem. And what we miss is going in a different direction where we may find out what they really want. We're back to vision again here, Doug. But it's like in any situation, what's my ideal? What's my vision? Listening for and are inquiring about through your questions, what are the things that you aspire to? How do you want this to ideally be? And then any issue or problem is put into the context of a barrier. It's now just a barrier to success. It's not the problem itself. It's just something on the way to getting what you want in terms of how you either want to be with your team or how successful you want to be in business, sales, marketing. So really how you listen and your mindset of what you bring as your MO to your listening and the way you then engage with other people makes, again, a huge difference to the results you get.
You know, I think this one's a little harder for many of us to understand. So let me ask you a question here. So rather than focusing on the problem that I'm presented with, that the person has presented me with, my focus would be on how that problem is interfering with the vision. Not solving the problem, but where is it impeding my achieving what I want to achieve? Is that what you're saying, Carly?
Yeah. And let's imagine that you need five people, peers, to approve a budget for a research project. And you know that two people are not on board, and you are, and the other person isn't. Well, if you say, I've got to go in and convince them of the problem, how are we going to get this done, and that they need to put the money behind this and they need to support it, that may end up being a bit of a defensive, reactive conversation, because you're trying to prove that you have the information that says we need to do the research, we need to put this budget behind it, and the other people are butting heads with you. But if you take it out of that framework and shift it to, let's go bigger picture for the moment. What are we all here for? What is the ultimate goal for our, what's the purpose for our being here, us four peers? What are we charged to do? Who are we serving? Where does this research project actually fit into the vision that we have and why we're here? Okay, now we can talk about what is the best way forward with this research project in the context of what we're here to do. Because, Doug, often what happens is we get into the minutiae and we get into fighting for our little piece of territory and we forget about the bigger picture. And so we disconnect from it, and then we disconnect from others around us, and it becomes about us being right and everyone else being wrong. And all of a sudden, we don't get what we want, and in fact, the project sort of suffers as well.
So whether I'm the coach or the client or the leader, the issue is not being attached to a solution, but being curious about what can be looked at, what can be offered, what are the possibilities.
Yeah, let's start with the possibilities. Yeah. I know it's a really big difference. I listen to so many coaches that will go into, even though I've just said, beware of going into a problem-solving mode when I'm mentoring them. You know, see if you can you discover what they want? Why do they want it? What will success look like for them? And then what strengths do they have they want to engage with? What are the challenges that could stop them from reaching their vision? So even if, look, a client or a coach will always be encountering problems. I mean, that's how we operate. But if we approach it as a problem, we'll only see a part of the picture, because a problem is only something that isn't where we want it to be yet. We wouldn't even know it was a problem if there wasn't something else we wanted. So we've got to find out the bigger picture. Where does this problem, this issue, fit into what we really want? Because we wouldn't have a problem otherwise.
Yeah. I love it. Okay, what's next?
Well, I think to instantly improve your skills in coaching as a leader or a coach, I really do believe it's coaching presence. It's your mindset and therefore how you listen, and that approaching from a vision point of view first, or go a little bigger picture rather than just go into the minutia. And part of that is also just creating context. Sometimes we live in our own world and we forget that other people aren't living in our head. So we will say things to other people that, I mean, they go, wait, hang on, where does that come from? I'm thinking this and you're thinking that. And no, let's talk about what's the context. And sometimes my clients will say, well, I've sent an email before a meeting that says what we're going to be doing in this meeting. And I say, well, how many emails do you get every day? You know, 500 to 1,000. Okay, so how many of those are you reading everything that you need to prepare for? We make assumptions that everybody else is on the same page as us. So part of that listening, part of that bigger picture and how we think and our mindset is actually also to remember to create context that allows other people to get on the same page quickly so that we know where we're going, either in a meeting or with our client. It doesn't matter, with our partners in life. We make assumptions that other people know what we mean.
So, you know what fascinates me about what you're explaining here, Carly, is whether I'm listening as a coach or whether I'm listening as a client or a manager, all of this has the same application.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it all boils down to how we communicate with one another.
Yeah, and I hesitate always to use the word communicate because people misread that as it's such a huge word, really. It covers so many skills. But you're right, it is about communication, and we need to break it down into some skills. So you could say presence is a communication approach, although it's nice for it to be a way of being rather than it being a strategy.
Oh, now we're into those coaching words. Okay.
Yeah, you know, you can tell when somebody's just doing something enough to get your attention, but they really don't believe it because you know that you meet them in another context and they don't seem to be the same person. You know, there's like schizophrenic personalities.
Yeah.
So if you really don't like people to begin with and you start to talk about, I'm going to be present with this person at work, and then you go home and yell at your spouse. You know, it's sort of like communication has to be about a way of, it has to become something that you find has a big enough benefit that you want to do it regardless. It's not about the other person. It's not about getting something. It's because you realize that it not only supports you to be more in connection with other people, and when you do that, as you said with your hairdresser, you get more. That person gets more from you. They probably even look forward to people like you coming in. They may even have customers they absolutely love, and they don't even realize that it's because of their way of being that you're attracted to them, and they go, well, I just have the best customers, and they don't even realize, no, it's because you're the person who makes me better because of the way you are with me. So it's not a way, it's a way of being rather than a strategy to get something.
Okay, now let me get two things straight here, and it has to do with language that we use.
Mm-hmm.
One is I don't have a hairdresser. I have somebody who cuts my hair.
I got it. Thank you.
Okay. And the second is, as coaches, we use words like it's about who you are. It's your way of being. How do you say a way of being in a corporate environment that doesn't relate to those touchy-feely, woo-woo kind of words?
I'd say back to presence.
Back to presence.
Yeah, it's simply your leadership presence. It's your ability to be fully present and your ability to realize that the only way you're going to be successful is if you create followers who want to follow you. And the only way they're going to follow you is if they respect you. They don't have to like you. But they respect you because you respect them. And you respect, that doesn't matter what role they play in the organization, they are important. So coaching presence, leadership presence, it really, to me, that's how I would describe it.
Excellent. I like that.
We went full circle there.
Yep. Well, look, I think you have fulfilled your statement that you've given us things we can instantly do to improve our coaching skills.
Good.
Whether as a coach or whether as a leader. And I had a question whether you could do that. I have a lot of confidence in you, but boy, that word instantly bothered me. But yes, I can see it. And I think this is a challenge, and I would challenge our audience to just write a few of these things down, put them in front of you, and just think about them the next time you get in a conversation. And think of Carly and think of this picture of presence, this way of being, and see what it does to your conversations. Great tips, Carly.
Thanks. How about we give your audience a presence challenge?
All right. Go ahead.
Yeah. For 30 days to actually be conscious of making the decision to be present for 5 minutes a day with somebody. That's it. Just be fully present.
Oh, I knew I was going to get coached today. You know, there we are, the homework assignment.
The presence challenge.
The presence challenge. It's still all about language. Okay. I love it. Well, look, before we run out of time here, tell us a little bit about some of the things that you're offering that would be of interest to our audience.
Okay. Well, for leaders, I do coaching skills for leaders programs. And one of the other things that I obviously do coaching technical leaders for improvement in their communication skills and their ability to be effective with non-technical people. And that's really in my coaching skill set. But in the mentoring, and also I think that this target approach applies to not only coaches, but to leaders who want to incorporate coaching skills into their leadership style. And that is the model that I started to explain, where I've actually created an audio-visual product that is around 40 minutes in length that really just takes you through this model and gives you some tips. I didn't want to overdo it, but make it accessible so that anybody, again, can take this and start to implement some communication skills. Coaching skills are essentially, I think, communication skills, and to be able to put that into practice. So that's a model, and do you want me to sort of give any more information on that right now, Doug?
Yeah. Tell people how they can get the model, how they use it, what does it cost, and I know you've got a little special offer for us, too.
Yeah. Well, you can go to my website, carlyanderson.com, CarlyAnderson.com, and go to the store, and you will find the target approach there, and there is there's different levels, but if you just want to purchase between 1 and 9 copies, you can get a $30 discount for putting in the coupon code per product, Doug, D-O-U-G. And on checkout, you will then get a $30 discount off of the price. And we're making that available to your listeners for until 30th of April. 2013, that'll be available. And anything else?
That is a wonderful offer. I really thank you for making that available to our listeners. I mean, what she's really talking about is pretty much of a third discount on the price here. And this target approach that Carly's offering, she did make it available to me to preview before the show. And I want to tell you that it's worth your time and it's worth your money. This is a different approach, a different way of looking at the core competencies. And whether you're training to be a coach or whether you are working to adopt a more coach-like management style or communication style, either way, I think this would really help you and it isn't painful at all.
Oh, thanks, Doug. Yeah, I think it's something that really... It just takes so much stress and time out of it. I know people who have to reapply for their credentials, let's say in that context, because they just don't understand how the competencies flow together. And so I feel like it's actually going to even save people money if they really study this and implement it. It's not going to take them long. In fact, I know because I've worked with this for a while now that people get instantly, and I don't use that word lightly, but they do get ahas and go, wow, this is amazing and I can implement it. And it's part of what I offer to the mentor coaching group. And again, you can go to my website and see the mentor coaching group that I offer. And that's an open group that starts, takes new enrollments on the first Tuesday of every month. And that's for people who want to be mentored by me and by Karen. We're an MCC-PCC pairing, and we've recorded a lot of coaching sessions for the exclusive use of our participants to be able to listen to my coaching, pull it apart by competency, learn from it, and the same with Karen's, and we're also getting an ACC to record as well next month. So I really want people to hear coaching, to pick it apart in a good way. And so the mentor coaching group is really about helping people to get better at the competencies and prepare to put in for their credential applications. So that's available as well.
Wonderful. So I would really encourage our audience to go to Carly's site. I'll tell you, I'm one of those people who had an aha moment when I first saw her target approach. It was like, oh, wow, that's so logical. Why didn't we think of that before? And I wish I had had that perspective when I was getting ready to be an MCC. And I told Carly, I said, you know, this isn't just for learning or getting a credential. This is something that I want to carry around as a cheat sheet for those moments when I go brain dead and I don't know what to do with a client, and it really brings me back and grounds me as to what is going on or what needs to go on in the sessions. So I think it's a great tool.
Thanks, Doug. Yeah, I wish I had it too when I was going for my credential. It would have saved me a lot of angst as well. And I just want to let people know, if they are interested in my leadership coaching work, they can go to my Stellar Leadership Performance website, which is stellarleader.com, S-T-E-L-L-A-R, leader.com.
Okay. So I guess we've answered the question, how someone gets in touch with you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and they can call me if they want. I mean, I'm happy for people to call me.
Okay, if they want to email you or call you, how do they do that?
Yeah, maybe just email is probably easiest, because of my accent sometimes it can get a little hard. Just go to my website and go to the contact page and send me an email. And
perfect.
If you want to call me, my number is... Do you want me to give my number here?
It's your choice.
Yeah. Well, again, you can go... Well, I'll give it. It's 949-716-9265. You have any questions, you want to converse with me, I'm really happy to hear from you.
Well, Carly, I want to thank you for what you've offered to us today. This has been a great session, a lot of learning, a lot condensed in a short period of time. Is there anything else that you want to tell the audience that I interrupted you on or talked over on that you didn't get to?
Oh, Doug, no, you didn't do that. You're a good coach. and a great radio guy. No, I just think, really, I don't say this lightly, but I do have a passion for this. I want to see more coaches in the world, and truly, communication is my lifelong learning. I've learned more about being a better person by improving my communication, and I see coaching skills as being a vehicle for doing that. So I just look forward to the opportunity to be of service to people who are interested as well in doing their, improving themselves.
Well, we're so enriched to have you in our community and to offer that. Carly, I want to thank you for being on the radio show, and welcome to the Coaching Perspective radio show community.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me, Doug.
Oh, thank you. We'll look forward to having you back again. And have a great evening.
Thank you.
Well, we've been listening to Carly Anderson, a master certified coach with a number of products and I don't mean to push her products, but I'll tell you, she's got some things there that are really great that would make your learning and your staying on track with your coaching so easy. I've been coaching for 18 years, and I'm not studying to get licensed anymore, but I have to keep studying to stay on track, to stay fresh, to make sure that my coaching, you pick up bad habits as you go along the way. So that's helpful. Next week, we've got a great guest next week, a longtime friend of mine, Elliot Light. We've sort of changed the topic a little bit. Elliot is a a master marketing person from my point of view. He has just started a new company. It's called Nexus New Home Marketing. So what are we doing interviewing somebody that's in the home marketing business? Well, look, the economy's changing. The market's heating up. Every place I go, people are talking about housing, talking about what's going on. At the same time, we're looking at social media having a huge impact at how sales happen today. And I had the occasion to meet with Elliot recently, and I was fascinated with what he's doing with his company and how it can be, how some of the things he's doing in the home building business can have an impact, and how some of that knowledge and those tools can have transfer applications into other businesses. So Elliot's going to be joining us next week. I think you're going to find it a great, interesting change of pace, and Elliot is always full of things to talk about. So join us then. Well, look, I want to thank you for being with us today. It's been a great show. Carly, thank you for being with us. Be sure to tune in again next week. We're on the air live Thursdays, 4 p.m., octalkradio.net. Look for our weekly newsletter. Goes out Wednesday nights or Thursday morning, depending how late you're up and what time zone you're in. It'll let you know more about our guests. And if you're not getting this, go to the Coaching Perspective website and sign up, and we'll be sure to get it. Or you can sign up for our blog and make sure you get our regular blog feeds. You'll get the same information there. So, Doug Gefeller signing off. I hope you enjoyed the show today, and that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to instantly identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening.
You've been instantly listening to The Coaching Perspective. An introspective look at the coaching profession today with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.